Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to our online worship service this week. My name is Josh Erickson, and I'm one of the pastors of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. And it is my pleasure to say welcome to you to our online service. We hope our time together is a blessing to you whenever you might be watching it. We hope you also might consider subscribing to our YouTube channel and sharing this channel and this message with others so that they might experience the blessing that our time together is as well. Well, today we're going to continue on our exploration of what it looks like to be reasonable and unreasonable in our response to our God who gives us both unreasonable and reasonable grace in our lives, and what God wants us to do and how God wants us to take our next steps in our lives. Well, every once in a while, I think many of us get into a place where we think about the question, am I investing myself, my life, in something that will last? Now, there's moments in life that trigger these kind of legacy observations or these legacy kind of conversations, it might even be. It can be as we reach a milestone birthday. It can be a milestone moment in life, whether it's welcoming a child or transitioning to a different school or moving from working to retirement or switching careers. Or yes, also when we're saying goodbye to loved ones, we get in these moments when we ask ourselves, either actually or rhetorically or in some kind of real way, am I investing myself and my life in something that will last? Now, this is a really important question for us to be asking, especially in our world today, when so much of everything that we experience is instant this and instant that, right? It's an instant gratification, it's an instant pleasure world. If the Wi-Fi is not working fast enough, we wonder what the heck is wrong with the world. If we don't get what we want right away, then we go on to something else. I know we like to joke about Amazon Prime, but it's like, if it's more than 2 days shipping, I'm gonna pick something else, right? These are the kinds of things that are really at work in our hearts and our minds when we ask these questions, like, and do we know, are we really investing in things that will last? Because if we invest ourselves in the things that are quick and the things that are instant, the things that give us instant gratification or come quickly, those things often aren't the things that really last. And those aren't the things that if we invest ourselves in, we make a lasting impact. And the call that God has for people who are followers of Jesus and the call that God has for anybody who is a part of our church is to consider seriously the call to invest in our church, because our church is investing in God's dream come true in the world. And when we invest in our church, in the dimensions of generosity that we all have at our disposal, we invest in something that lasts, and we can leave a legacy behind all of us. And this is part of what God wants for us. Now, there's a tension here that is always at play in our lives. Jesus talks about this quite a bit because Jesus recognizes that money is a very fickle thing in our lives. It's a great field of temptation in our lives. And in particular, Jesus calls us to not worry about these kinds of things. Now, in one of the most famous teachings that Jesus has, and it comes to us in Luke chapter 12, there's also a version of this in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear." Rather, Jesus calls us to then worry, or not worry rather, but to invest ourselves in the treasures in heaven, instead of the things of this earth that are going to be going away. In particular, in the latter part of that chapter, Jesus says, "Invest yourselves in the treasures of heaven where there are no thieves and nothing decays. Rather, the things that have an eternal consequence or an eternal impact or an eternal legacy." I think it's really interesting how Jesus frames up this tension here as don't invest yourself in things that a thief would want or things that would decay. In Matthew, it says, where there is moth or rust. And if we think about these kinds of things, that gives us a framework for a way to check ourselves if we're investing in the right things. So if we're over-investing to the detriment of others in things that a thief might want, then we're going to be over-worried about our things. We're going to be focused on the legacy of our stuff and not the impact of our lives. And similarly, if we have too much invested in the things that are going to be prey to moth or insects or decay or rust it might be, then we probably have invested ourselves in things that aren't worthy always of our investment, because they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow. But instead, Jesus calls us to invest ourselves in treasures in heaven that have a great impact, not on just our lives, but all lives, and can have an impact throughout eternity. And what this looks like for us in our world today is making sure that we are investing the precious gifts that we have into the mission of the church. This is a very important way for us to be focused on some of our generosity. Now, this may not be all of our focus, but it needs to certainly be some of our focus. And in particular, what we're looking at here is this call for people in our day and time that consider Park Ridge Presbyterian their church home or their church family. So if Park Ridge Presbyterian is your church or your church family, then God is calling you to invest in our ministry and invest in our mission. As we started looking at last week, there's these three dimensions of generosity that we all want to be exploring. We looked in detail last time of what it looks like to take our turn in volunteering for when we're a part of our in-person experience. Today, we're going to further explore what it looks like to invest ourselves financially. And then also, there's a call to be investing in transformational leadership experiences that help our church move forward. Now, we want to take our turns volunteering. We want to serve in transformational ways, but we also want to be investing financially in our church. And the challenge that we're issuing here, and this is both that reasonable and unreasonable piece coming to play, is that we're hoping and asking that there be 200 adults who are investing at least $2,000 a year in the ministry of our church. And if we had 200 adults who are investing $2,000 a year into the ministry of our church, then we would reach a much more sustainable place in our overall budget and our overall capacity. Now, this is a place of great generosity and great strength that we're playing from or moving forward in our particular church, because we have a great set of rental revenue and some investments that are vital for our ministry. But for us to be able to do what we believe God is calling us to do, we need to make next steps in our regular giving to the annual operating expenses of our church. And if you do the math, and if you do 200 adults times $2,000 plus the other income we have, we would set ourselves up to being able to continue doing some great work that God is calling us to do. Now, I am simply here saying to connect the dots for us. And when we connect them, it's very simple. When we invest ourselves in the mission of our church, we believe that God is helping us to invest in something that is a treasure in heaven. It's the work of our church to be reaching out and doing God's work in the world, and that is what will last. When we invest in our church, when we invest in each other through the work of our church, we know that has a great impact. And we know that that will last. We don't have to wonder about that. But when we invest in other things that maybe are those things that a thief would want to go back to that or will fall apart, we can really and should wonder, is that what I should have put my heart and my soul and my energy into? Now, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider if you can be one of those 200 people that are committed to giving at least $2,000 a year. We know that this might be a stretch for some. We know that this might be something that you have to build towards based on your personal financial situation, but we wanted to offer this as an example and a goal for us to all think and pray about. Now, when you hear this, it's going to naturally bring up all kinds of questions. It's going to bring up some tension. It's going to bring up some worry and some anxiety for all of us in differing ways. And so what I want to encourage each one of us to do is the following. I want us to all pray about this. Have a one-on-one or a family conversation, as it might be, between you and God. Pray about it. Ask God to give you a sense of clarity on this opportunity. Now, if you are ready to move forward, we want to encourage everybody to then not just be aspirational in this, but to then make a plan as to how they're going to achieve that giving. I want to frame it up a little more clearly. If you take $2,000 and divide it by 12 months, that's $167 a month. And one thing you could consider doing is making an automatic giving plan where you're giving $167 a month for yourself to the church. There's lots of ways to do that. I don't need to tell you how to do that. You can figure out the ways that works for you. But when you make these prayers and when you then make a plan and make a decision to move forward, you then put into practice the investment in that which will last. And then when you sit back the next time and ask yourself, am I investing in something that makes a difference? You can answer yourself, yes, I am. Now, like I said, there are moments in life where we kind of wonder about these things, and maybe you're in one of those moments. Maybe you've been through one of those moments. Maybe you're gonna find yourself in one of those transition moments where you're gonna reflect on this. And what God wants for each one of us is to be able to be content with the peace of God in our lives, that we're doing what we can do to make sure that God's dream comes true. Sometimes that is very reasonable because we know what it takes. Sometimes it feels unreasonable because we do know what it takes and it still feels like a challenge. And that's why we're all in this together. When we're all in this together, we know that God is working through each and every one of us. And collectively, God will work through all of us together more than God can work through us individually. And so I want to encourage every single person who knows that this is their church family to ask themselves, what's that next step that I can take so I can be more unreasonable in my investment in the mission and ministry of our church? When we all take those next steps, we go further into the future that God has for us. God wants our church to take the next steps. The best thing we can do is take those next steps together. So let's be committed to taking as many steps into the future as we can. Would you please pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you are a God who is with us and a God who is for us and a God who loves us. And Holy God, as we find our way forward in these days, we ask that you help us to take both those reasonable steps, those ones we understand, and those unreasonable steps, the ones we may not fully appreciate or understand or want to take, but you help us to take them. And God, in this crazy, mixed up, confusing world that we live in, where things both feel just and unjust at the same time, and things feel clear and unclear at the same time, we ask that you help us to take these steps so that we help your dreams come true and not our dreams come true. And we ask, God, that you help our dreams to be more aligned with your dreams so that when we do what you call us to do, your hope and your peace and your joy and your love become more and more real for more and more people. God, help us to be as courageous as we can as we take these steps that you call us to take. We pray this in your name. Amen.